So happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
There he goes, the revival, and listens to the preacher. After a while, the preacher asks anyone who needs to be prayed over to come forward to from the altar. Larry gets in line, and when it's his turn, the preacher says, "Larry, what do you want me to pray for you about?" Larry replies, "Hey, preacher, I need you to pray for my hearing." Preacher pulls one finger in Larry's ear, places the other hand on top of Larry's head, and prays and prays and prays. After a few minutes, the preacher removes his hands, stands back, and asks Larry, "Larry, how's your hearing now?" Larry says, "I don't know. Reverend, it's not till next Thursday." Got a hearing next Thursday.
Think of all your ways of prayer.
Huh?
Yep,
I got you. Excuse me. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? I'm incredibly thankful for those that have shown up on Wednesdays to join me in prayer. If you haven't, I want to encourage you to do so. I believe that corporate prayer can, when you and I come united with the purpose for purpose, that it shifts atmospheres. Amen?
Amen.
Truth is, I know with God all things are possible. Prayer is powerful. Amen?
Amen.
I have been, and I've seen God miraculously answer so many prayers over and over again over the years. So why is it that so many of us struggle? It seems like one of the most difficult things to do is just spend time in prayer. Be something consistent with. And I mentioned already that prayer is powerful, but truth is, prayer can also be quite puzzling. If I'm being honest, I have seen God answer some prayers where I have said, "Yay, God, go." He showed up and he showed off. Amen? And then there have been those other times. I prayed for a similar circumstance, a similar situation, something the same type of thing, with exactly the same expectancy that I had for the first time. Believing God the same way, believing in God, in faith. And he didn't do what I thought he could do. Didn't do what I thought he should do. And you know, that can be puzzling. Amen? You see, God do something. Knowing nothing is impossible with God. And then you read about some of the answered prayers in Scripture, and you just see God, and you know God, and you know how God answered those things, and you think you should, and you question, why didn't you? Or worse yet, why should I even pray? And let me just pause you to say this. Never stop believing. Believing that God can. Never stop praying, believing He will. If the enemy can get you to think God doesn't hear you or doesn't care, he's got you exactly where you don't want to be. And so he will stop you praying and seeing God move in your life as God wants to move. Your prayer, my prayer, is powerful. It has power to move mountains. I love reading the stories in the Bible where God showed up and showed off. For example, in Joshua 10, Joshua just won a battle, and now he's being attacked. And so Joshua's praying that the sun will stand still. And God caused the sun to set. I mean, look, this is cool. On the day of the Lord gave the Amorites of Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun stands still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as is written in the book of Tushar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. The sun stood still, y'all. I mean, that's pretty impressive. They had more than 24 hours. The sun stood still in the middle of the sky and delayed going down. About a full day. And then I have prayed for someone who just wanted a little more time with their family and they didn't get it. And it can be puzzling. Or how about this one in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah challenges 800 false prophets that tells them to sacrifice to their God. Let them go first, then they pray nothing. Elijah teases them, but look what he says. This is kind of funny, actually. He says, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is a deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. Go. That's my kind of guy. Go. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as was their custom until their blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then it's Elijah's turn. And so he turns to the people. He has them rebuild the sacrifice with 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, just to do all that. He soaks the sacrifice in water, not once, not twice, but three times. And let's read what happened. It's found in verses 33 to 39. It says this. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench that was built around the altar. Okay? Going on. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, so these people will know that you, God, you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Incredible prayer. Incredible response from God and the people. Amen? And then I have gone to the bedside to pray for people. Pleaded on their behalf for God to interfere and to God to intervene on the family, and they never got out of that bed. And it can be puzzling. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel's in the lion's den. He prays. God took the starving lions, duct taped their mouth, and Daniel walks out without a scratch. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who get thrown into a fiery furnace, and it's burnt, it's hotter than ever been before, and they come out without even being singed by the fire, not even smelling like smoke. That's the incredible power of God. Prayer is powerful. Amen. But occasionally, it's also puzzling. When you look at the words of Jesus, he says something that really builds my faith. But at the same time, gets me thinking, gets me wondering. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said this, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's a pretty good promise. Amen? Jesus said that. So why is it that sometimes I ask him for things in his name? I ask him for something in his name and believe with all my heart that it would be accomplished, that he would do it. But he doesn't. Have you ever prayed for something and you knew God could do it and you thought he would, but he didn't? It's in those moments, in those times, you start to wonder and ask yourself, did I do something wrong? Did I do something that God's mad at me for? Is God angry with me? The mic's got to be turned down just a little bit. Let me just get that set. That's all it is. Mic's got to be turned down slightly here. So let me turn that down. Come on. Slightly. Once. There it goes. All right. That should be better now. All right. So, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. You wonder, is God listening? Does he not care? So, with that foundation, remember, we are in the series, Ever Wonder Why? Forever Wonder. So today I want to talk about Ever Wonder Why God Didn't Answer My Prayer. What I hope to do is help build an understanding of the nature of God and the purpose of prayer. Let me start by saying this. I'm going to start by saying something let me see, how can I put this? You may not want to hear, but can I be honest with you for a moment? In our very self-centered culture, we want everything to be about us. But truth is, it's not about us. And when you look through scriptures, we find out that this is the case, that it's not about us at all. You are not. I am not the center of the universe, the main character in the story. God is. And we need to embrace that reality that God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. God does not exist. The truth is that we exist to serve him in the way that he wants us to love him unconditionally as well. To love him without saying, God, only if you let me go here or do this or do that. God wants us in return of his love for us to love him back. That's why we have free will. That's what we talk about. Just because he wants us to have the choice to love. And we recognize that he doesn't exist for us, but that we exist for him. It helps us understand the purpose and the meaning behind why it is that we pray. Let's build a little bit of that foundation of understandings. And then we'll look at some scriptures together. Is that okay? Let's define what prayer, what the purpose of prayer is not. I think that will help us see what the purpose of prayer is, and we'll get to that as well. Here's what the purpose of prayer isn't. And this may shock you. Okay? The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do our will. I know, shocking, isn't it? You thought it was. That's not the purpose of prayer. It's not to get God to say, God, just see it my way. You know, I mean, that's not the purpose. The purpose of prayer is to know God's heart, so that we can do His will. And the only way you can know His heart is when you spend time in relationship with Him. That's it. The purpose of prayer is not to is get to know Him intimately. God so wants relationship with His kids.
Amen.
And we are here to serve Him. He is not here to serve us. God isn't some spiritual Santa Claus or genie in a bottle that we just rub him and then release him and he's like, what do you want? That's not God. He's not our drive-through God where we just pull up, talk to the little box and say, I've got a need. And then you pull around the corner and there's an angel saying, here you go, it's my pleasure. What do you need? Here you go. Whatever it is you ask for. That's not God. We need to understand that God is not a button to be pushed, a let be rubbed, but it is rather a relationship to pursue. It is a relationship to pursue. He wants relationship. He is love. He created us to love, so He could love us, so that we would in turn love Him back and love those around us as well. So the purpose of prayer is not to get God to do our will. The purpose of prayer in a nutshell is for us to know Him and be conformed to His will, and then knowing Him, do His will. But then Jesus, we read that verse in John that can really be puzzling, because Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. And yet so often, that's not the way it goes. Was Jesus lying? Does He not care? The answer to both those questions is no. He cares. He is not lying. And what is really important for us to understand as followers of Jesus, as we study God's Word, when we read God's Word, we need to accurately interpret the Word. Timmy talked about interpreting the Word with, you know, correctly. And you never can build a theology off of one verse. Especially when we take out of context. You need to look at who it was written, you know, who was writing it, who was written for, what's the historical context of it all, the sort of ideas going on in the background and the time. And so instead of building the theology off of one verse or a couple of verses, we look at other scriptures to interpret the scriptures. We look at other scriptures to interpret the scriptures. So hear this, church. Hear this. If your belief, your thought, is anything contrary to what Scripture says, it's the wrong thought. If your thought is contrary to what Scripture says, if it's contrary to what the Word says, then your thought is wrong. Scripture is true. Amen? You have the wrong belief system. God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, whatever, will not contradict the Scripture. So if you are plucking out a few just to justify your actions, plucking out a few to justify how you live, how you think, and the context is not in line with the rest of the Word of Scripture, of Word of God, the Scriptures, then you need to think about how you're living. Think about the way you're thinking. So if you have this one verse on prayer, you can say, okay, I've got some questions about this. Amen? Because Jesus said, I'll do anything. So if that's the only verse we have on Scripture and on prayer, then we've got some questions. Because that's not the reality that we see most of the time. Let's just be honest. Our experience has been different from what Jesus said. So we're going to look at some other verses in prayer. we'll take a look at what Paul said in the epistles and what Jesus said in the Gospels. We're going to use some scripture to interpret scripture. That'll help us see the whole narrative of what God is trying to say under the umbrella of grace and goodness and mercy and truth. The message today is one that honestly has caused some people to leave the faith. They've left the church. I mean, maybe you've heard the stories of people that once sat in a place similar to this, like this, but no longer do. And we've heard them say, "I prayed for my grandma and she died. I prayed for a best friend and he took his life. I prayed for whatever and God didn't answer. Why did God not answer my prayer?" And they lost their belief in the God that they once served. And they left. Maybe you're the one saying, "I prayed and I believed and I thought I did everything I could. I did everything right. I didn't. And God didn't do what I thought He should do. Didn't do what I know He could do. Why didn't God answer my prayer?" And let me just be really upfront and honest with you. Let me just be really truthful and right up front. I don't know. I'm not God. I went to a conference with Global Awakening, where they're praying, and they had us all come up in line. I'm one of the prayer leaders with Global Awakening. When I go to conference, I can pray with people and do, you know, whatever. And so I'm there, and someone came to me, and now my bladder's not working yet. They came to me and said, "My bladder's not working, and I got arthritis." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And I'm thinking, "God, you got such a sense of humor." And so I prayed for both their bladder and their arthritis. And I says, "How you doing?" She goes, "I don't know. I'll let you know. My bladder, I'll know instantly. I'll know right away." And the next morning, she says, "My bladder's healed." I'm like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." And I thought, where's mine? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, we've got so many people that I know of someone that he's deaf and I mean, totally. And he prays people and he sees people get their hearing back. And yet God's not. Why? I don't know. Now, I know now that, you know, I was able to get my bladder fixed and maybe did a different way. But God used it. And the doctors will be 20%. And God did 100%. So I can use it for testimony of His goodness. Amen? So, I mean, now I see it. Back then, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? See, it doesn't always make sense. Sometimes prayers puzzle me. So I don't know why God chooses to do what I know He can, chooses, you know, but doesn't. But might have for someone else in a similar situation, different time, different place, whatever. But I do know, and I want to show you through the Bible, at least four possible reasons why God didn't do what you asked Him to do. It's by no means exhaustive. And I've learned that when God answers prayer, I just give Him all the glory. When He doesn't, I leave it with Him. Say, "God, you know." I mean, I've learned that over the course of years. Because oftentimes He has answered just not the way I thought He was going to answer. And didn't see it in that moment. So I leave it with God. I have prayed and seen God heal miraculously. I've also prayed and felt like nothing happened. So, four possibilities. First one is this, take your notes. Maybe you have a broken relationship somewhere with someone that's hindering your prayer life, your intimacy with God. And perhaps that might be a reason you didn't get an answer. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus was talking to disciples. He was giving them a lesson on faith. And He was saying, basically, hey, if you really have faith, you can say to something, as crazy as for this mountain to be removed, and it will move. I mean, that's pretty bold. And if you don't doubt in your heart, I'll do it. Yes. And Jesus said this in verse 24. Mark 11:24. He said this. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That sounds a lot like we were in John, doesn't it? Ask of you in my name, and I'll do. I mean, it sounds very close. But then Jesus continues. He said this in verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you for your sins. Wait, what? It seems like Jesus is adding a little bit to his teaching about faith and prayer. It seems Jesus is implying that our relationship with other people around us can impact our relationship with him. Do you know why it sounds that way? Because it does. Because he is. Let me try to explain it this way. Your kids are fighting. They're had the blood coming to the screen outside, and they're, you know, both he and she are just out there, boo, just jumbling, and they you know, they run the house, and he did this, and she did that, and I, Justin, and it goes on and on and on. And then they come to you right away and say, can we have someone over tonight? Uh-huh. You're like, no. Can we go to a movie? No. It's just, why? There's no harmony there. Can we stay up late? No. It's not that you're mean. It's because you're fighting. Those are your children, who I'm sure you adore, you love with everything. But at that point, you're not going to give them what they are looking for, asking for, when they're not doing what you want them to do. The relationship between you and your kids was not in harmony in the moment. So perhaps, just perhaps, I don't know, Jesus, he's implying the relationship with people impact the relationship with God. In case you're still not sure, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was talking about going to give you gift. In verse 23, he says this. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. If you remember, so you're at the altar, you want to give, you want to pray, you want to do, and you remember you're there, and all of a sudden you remember someone is mad at you. What do? Keep on praying? Think it's going to pass? Is all going to be okay? Look what Jesus said. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Woo! Your kids go to each other. They make it right. They apologize. They do what you asked them to do before the whole thing took place. Now maybe a movie could be in the picture. Because they've worked out those relationships. It could just be me, but it seems like Jesus is saying that your relationship with other people could impact your relationship with God. If that's not enough, guys, specifically you husbands, here's a verse that you're probably going to wish I didn't even bring up. I just wish I just left out this message, but it can apply to both husbands and wives, I'm sure. But men, this is directly at you. Even the King George's version, it says this: if you are jerketh, God may not answer your prayer. Now here's what it actually says. It said this.
There's no way.
1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be. So what? Your prayers will not be hindered. It seems that when we let Scripture interpret the Scriptures, Scripture seems to imply that your relationship with other people might impact your relationship with God. So, why did I answer your prayers? Again, I don't know. But perhaps, if a broken relationship, that could be impacting your intimacy with the Father. Second reason, if you're taking notes, that God might not answer your prayers is maybe, just maybe, you have the wrong motives. Now, I don't know about you, because we're probably more spiritual than I am, but I sometimes pray selfish prayers. I'm surprised, I know. I wish I could say that my prayers are always in the fear of the Lord and that the right motives of the heart, but I can't. And the truth is that I'm not the only one. It was quite common in the days of Jesus. The Pharisees did an awful lot. You can read about it in the Gospels. They would go out in their nice little robes and stand in the street corners and pray these really long, elaborate prayers. Not because they wanted to let God know He really loves them, that they really love Him. It's not that they really love God. It's that they love the applause of the people around them, thinking, wow, that's so spiritual, praying that long, and you're so good, thank you. They wanted the applause of men. And I don't know how it might apply in your life. It might be the person in business who says, God, just bless my business, but they're not willing to give any money to the local body that they attend on Sunday, bless this business, but there's no generosity. No wanting to help anybody in need. Why did God ask you a prayer? Maybe it's because you have a broken relationship. Maybe it's because you have wrong motives. Third possible reason is maybe when you prayed, you don't believe God would actually do it. You had no expectation. You just thought, prayer is the right thing to do. Maybe you didn't believe God would. You had a lack of faith. You have no expectancy. Let me just say this before we look at a verse or two. Never, never lower your expectancy to what you have seen or heard. Always raise the bar to what the Scripture says you can do. What God will do. So many times we think, well, I've never seen God really heal anybody, so He must not do that anymore. Don't lower your bar. Raise it to the things you've read and heard and know. Mark chapter 9, there was a dad who had a son. This boy was possessed by an evil spirit. The evil spirit throws him to the ground. He's foaming at the mouth. Evil spirit even tried to kill the boy by throwing him fire and putting him in water. And so this dad, as you can imagine, is sort of at wit's end. He's like beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. He's tried everything. So he's asking, can anyone help my boy? And so he sees the disciples. And he says, hey, you got your father's Jesus. You have power. Come. Heal my boy. Come, cast out this demon. And they couldn't. And Jesus looking on. Jesus watching. It's kind of funny. Jesus is looking on and watching them try to do those. And they couldn't do it. So Jesus looked on, and you could almost sense this like thought of, guys, come on. Really? You don't understand how much power you have? I mean, it's like he's like disappointed almost a little bit. And you know, at least a little bit, you know, concerned that they're not catching it. They are just maybe fishermen. Took him a little time. So he asks. In Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 21, he says this. Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has it been like? How long has it been like this? From childhood, he answered. He's often thrown into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus. Everything is possible for the one who believes. I just love the honesty of this dad as he says, but if you can do anything. And I imagine that he's already heard some of the miracles of Jesus. He's already heard some things he did. And he's like, Jesus, if you can. And Jesus is like, if you can? Really, dude? Like, don't you know I can? If I can? Everything, Jesus says, is possible for the one who believes. And again, let me ask you, verse 24, look at this. He says this. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. He's like, I kind of have faith. It's a little wishy-washy. I've heard the stories. I sort of believe, but I'm not sure I have the faith you're looking for. I have a sort of kind of faith. And I love the honesty, because I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, even as a pastor and someone who has walked with Jesus for over 40 years, there are moments in my life when my faith has not been as strong as other moments in my life. And when you read, but you need to hear me when I tell you, I have seen God do miraculous things. I've seen God heal diseases, restore backs from needing surgery. I've seen God miraculously provide for people that there was no other way. He's done that for me. It's obviously the hand of God. And I've seen God show up so many times. I've seen God take people that others had given up on, that had no hope, and God just transform their life and make them something new. I've seen it. I have seen God answer prayer after prayer after prayer, but the truth is, I have had moments I just couldn't muster the faith to do anything. I knew God could heal. I knew God could care. I knew God had everything, but in that moment, I just didn't have the faith to do it. And what we need to understand is that our faith really does matter to God. Scripture tells us, Hebrews 11:6, and without what? It is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The way that you're made right with God is by faith. It's faith in a God you can't see. It's faith in a God you may not even feel. Faith honors God. And then God honors our faith. Over and over again in Scripture, Jesus said, according to your faith, may be done to you. Your faith matters to God so much. Let me give you just three examples of this. There's a woman. She was bleeding for 12 years. Didn't have any hope. She went doctor for doctor for doctor. Nothing happened. She had no nothing. Jesus walks by. He's on his way to help somebody get their daughter raised from the dead. And he's just on his way to their house. And you know, not knowing his daughter's dead yet. But, you know, just help my sick daughter. He's on his way on the journey walking. This woman with the issue of blood comes, touches his garment. He turns around and says, your faith has made you whole. How about this? There was an immoral woman who knelt down and worshipped at the feet of Jesus, poured expensive perfume or oil over him, and Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has saved you. There was two blind men who couldn't see, and they said, heal us. And Jesus said, do you believe that I can? They said, yes, we do believe that you can. And Jesus, according to your faith, let it be done for you. And their sight was restored. According to your faith, let your sight be done. And their faith healed their blindness. Your faith matters to God. But the same time, we have to remember that God is still God, period. You're not. I'm not. And he will do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants. Listen, I'm telling you, never stop praying for healing. Never stop praying for your children. Never stop praying for people to come to church and encounter Jesus. Never stop praying, period. Pray believing. Pray with expectancy. Pray because I still believe he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. He will not change. I still believe that. Even though prayer can be puzzling sometimes. But I want you to realize that there are some that has given up, given what I believe is a distorted view of the gospel. And this is it. If you have enough faith, then God has to do what you want. God has to heal you. God has to bless you. And everything's going to be, if you're rich, if you just have enough faith. That's a distorted view of the gospel, I think. Truth is, God doesn't owe us anything. He's already given us everything. I do believe God wants to bless his children. What father doesn't? So, and I've mentioned this before, God may bless you with millions, but he may not. If you can't be honored, if you get out of the little things, but you have nothing, you're not going to honor the Avalon. I guarantee you. Your heart does not change. You've got no money from when you have money. Your heart just becomes more exposed. If you give now, you'll give more later. If you don't give now, you probably won't give a dime later. It's just, that's the way it is. So don't expect God to bless you. You can't even be a blessing now. Okay, that was hard. That hurt, didn't it? Okay, let's move on. That's just... Ultimate Church, you need to understand that your faith matters to God. So keep praying, keep believing, keep trusting, because he is still faithful. So maybe you're thinking, well, my relationships are pretty good. I can't think of anybody that's mad at me or I'm mad at them. I think I am. No, it's pretty good. Maybe it's, everything's right. I have the right motives. I believe that my motives are pure, and I really do have faith, but we got to ask my prayer. Why hasn't God asked my prayer? And so the last reason I want you to see in Scripture that God may not have answered your prayer is this. It may be simply because God has something different or something better. Maybe in your case, even though you really want it and you really think it's best, and all logic tells you it's best, maybe God has something different. Look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Has an amazing promise. It says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears our prayers. Always. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for. That's a promise. A pretty incredible promise. You have confidence in this. But if we ask anything according to our will, our wisdom, according to our intent, according to our desire, that's not what Scripture says. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we ask for. Maybe as much as you want what you want, and as bright as you think it is, maybe God has something different in store. Maybe he has something different, his overall plan in his life, in your life, in his will for your life. Not just for you, but even the people around you. Because the Apostle Paul, he described it as a thorn in the flesh. That's what he described it as. That's what his term is. We don't know what that thorn was. scholars have fought that for years on, you know, eyesight, bad, you know, migraine headaches. We don't know. Maybe he had a thorn of somebody else. Maybe you've had those thorns too, somebody else in your life. We don't know what his thorn was. What we do know is that he prayed three times for God to remove that thorn. I don't believe for a moment those were like the breakfast, lunch, and dinner prayers. I think it was three seasons of prayer in his life where he urgently and passionately and believing with expectancy God removed that prayer. I think it was three seasons that Paul said, God, I can't do this anymore. I've seen the miraculous. I know you can do this. This is slowing me down. It's hurting me. Whatever it is, it's tormenting me. He says, it's tormenting me day and night. Please, God, do something. I love the Chosen. We've been on this series, one of the sessions that had Chosen. One of the guys comes to Jesus. He's walking with the king. You know, and his Jesus looks over and heals his wife. And just, you know, and he's like, Jesus, I've walked to you all the time. Why haven't you healed me yet? And Jesus says, I don't need you to feel me to trust me. I need you to feel anything to know I'm there. And so he's just to walk away, and all of a sudden he is healed. It's like it's a beautiful moment in the series. But it's like sometimes we just have to think, God's still God. And Paul was like, God, please just take this away from me. I just don't get it. I don't understand. That's Paul. The guy that preached the gospel for over 30 years in every major city of the Mediterranean region. Paul, that same one who encountered the risen Christ and served him so faithfully, enduring an incredibly high price, shipwrecked and beaten, stoned and imprisoned. That's the Paul that wrote about half the New Testament. That Paul. He prayed and he pleaded with God. His relationships were probably good. His motives were always pure. His faith was probably great. And God didn't do it. And God revealed to Paul when he said that in 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. My God, Paul second showed me that his grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's all I need. His power is made perfect in my weakness, in my brokenness. So I'll boast all the more in my weakness because his strength, his goodness, his glory is made perfect. I didn't get what I wanted. Even when I don't understand it at all. So I don't know what it would be for you. We have to have this house, have to have this job, whatever. I have to marry this person. And so you pray and you pray and you pray and it doesn't happen. In the moment, you may not understand. You may not like it. You may ask some very legitimate questions, and I'm pretty convinced that God is okay with that. Why didn't you remove that thorn? And God may, in his own way, in his own time, show you and everything that he's still sufficient. His grace is still what you need, is all you need. So you asked, and you believed, and you didn't get it. And one day you recognize God has something different, something better. So that raises the very important question. Why even bother praying? Let me just try to close this out. This thing out by saying this. And I said it earlier. Let me say it again. You have to understand that the purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what I want. Not God to do what we want. person prayers is more relational than that. He wants us to know him intimately. It's to know him so that you can do his will. And what I've found in my own life, if nothing else, there's always something else, but if there's nothing else, it reminds me that I'm not in control. And I got to be close to the one who is. The purpose is to know him and do his will. And listen, church, this is important. Listen. There has been times where I have been in a prayer slump. I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer slump. It's not a good season to be in. You know, you're praying, you feel like it just prayers hit the ceiling, bouncing back. They're not going any further. It's like, boom. It's like God's, you know, feeling the thing, God sets the thing. It's like nothing seems to be happening. You just, I remember the heaven speaker that is with Global Awakenings one time, he's talking about these praying, these people coming to him all the time. He, you know, this person's having this illness, this sickness. You go and pray, and they die. And so he's trying to tell his church, he's trying to, you know, teach his church about healing and stuff. And so, but every time he had this one particular disease, people would die. Just, they die. And he's like, so he has somebody come to church, and he's like, Pastor, you need to pray for me. And I'm like, no, I don't. You know, it's like, get mama to do it. It's like, get somebody. I mean, he's like that. Every time I pray, and not the person recovered. So it's like, you just keep pushing it, keep on going. You just have to, never stop believing. It's to know him more intimately. And so, when you're in a slump, it's not easy to be in, but it's like an athlete who gets in a slump and they can't hit the ball to save their life. And listen, I've had that where just the prayers bounce back and you can't figure it out. And you wonder, is God listening? Hear me. I never doubted the power of prayer ever in those moments. But I just didn't have the faith. I didn't feel like it. I better maybe term. I didn't feel like God was answering my prayers. Now he was. He's always working. Always working. Always working. Yeah. And then something happens. Something miraculous takes place. A prayer that I said, even I didn't feel like it. I mentioned the prayer, and all of a sudden, the situation turns. I'm like, woo! God did show up. God was listening. And you come out of your slump. But you never stop praying through the slump.
That's right.
Georgia, come. See, I just remember, God isn't here to serve me. I'm here to serve him.
That's right.
And the purpose of prayer isn't to get him to do my will. The purpose of prayer is for me to get to know him and do his will. So with everything in me, when I pray, I always believe God can. I always believe that God will. And even if he doesn't, the good news is, I came to tell somebody, I still believe. I simply believe in everything in me, with every fiber of my body, because my faith is not based on what I see. My faith is based on who God is. It's not a what, it's a who. See, a what will change, when the circumstance changes, you'll believe more or less. But when you believe in a who, because that's who he is, he's a good, good father. And when you believe that with everything in you, nothing can change the fact that God, however you answer it, however you do it, whether you answer it or not, whether you say no, yes, maybe, or wait, God, I'm yours. I serve you with everything. It's not a what, it's a who, and it's a goodness, the glory, the nature of God. And so if you find yourself in a little prayer slump, you just keep on praying, because this ultimate purpose of prayer is not to get God to do your will, not to get God to do you want, but to know him and his goodness and be conform to His will. So when you pray, believe He can, believe He will, and if He doesn't, still believe, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Father, today we come to You. Oh God, we just come to You. But I know sometimes we get puzzled by it, for we see You move at one time and then You don't move the next as we think You should move, at least. God, we just don't know where to turn sometimes. We always need to turn to You first. For You are the first, the last, the Alpha, Omega, the beginning, and the end. God, You are the One who is and who is to come, the Almighty. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the healer of all. Lord, You said that if we will just seek Your face, turn from our ways and lean on You, God, that you change the nation. But God, we have sometimes gotten so lazy in our relationship. So God, I will believe with all my heart that You still can, You still will. And when You do, I will shout from the mountains how good You are. And when it doesn't happen the way I think it should, I'll shout from the mountains how faithful You are. God, help us today to keep on keeping on. When we don't see things happen the way we think they should, God, when we don't understand how everything's happening, God, when the prayer becomes a puzzle, let us still just continue to pray so You pick up the pieces. We know that all things work out for good to those who love You. All things work out for good to those who love You. So Holy Spirit, today I just ask You just begin to show us. Burn within us an urgency to continue to seek Your face. Lord, the people, the Elijah, they prostrate on the floor. They just lay prostrate on the floor, God. They just had their face to the ground and said, God, You're so good. Today, Father, I ask if there's any need that's here, God, any need that Lord, they have. I just want You to show up and show off, God, for You are so good. Lord, I have seen miracle after miracle, healing after healing, time and time again. I've seen You do things like only You can. Help us to keep believing that You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever, that You have not changed. Culture might shift, Your word does not. Culture might change, Your word does not. Theology might try to get us to believe something different, God, but Your word is true. Let us examine Scripture. Study to show ourselves approved unto You, God. Let us be a workman that need not be ashamed of what we know. And let us stand on the promises of God. Even when we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't experience it, God, let us stand on the promises of God. And Lord, I would trust in You. With everything within me, there by my being, I'll trust in You. For I know that You are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I ask or think. And I trust You will do it when the world says it can't be done. I know nothing is impossible with God. So to stand the measure of faith that You've given us, believe You for miracles. that no one has experienced. And know, God, that you're able to do it.